Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. And he again entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there who had a withered hand. And they watched him to see if he would heal him upon the Sabbath day, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Arise, come into the middle." And he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And when he had looked around upon them with anger, being grieved because of the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch your hand forth." And he stretched it forth, and his hand was restored whole, like the other. And the Pharisees went forth and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan. When those around Tyre and Sidon had heard what great things he did, a great multitude came to him, and he spoke to his disciples so that a small ship should wait upon him, because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, so much so that they pressed upon him in order to touch him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, "Thou art the Son of God." And he strictly charged them that they should not make him known. And he went up into the mountain and called those whom he would, and they came to him, and he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. And he surnamed Simon Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, he surnamed Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And there was Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And they went into a house, and the multitude again came together, so that they could not as much as eat bread. And when his friends heard, they went out to lay hold upon him, for they said, "He is beside himself." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and cast out demons by the prince of demons." And he called them and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and plunder his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies with which they shall blaspheme. But he who shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit never shall have forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal condemnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit. Then his brothers and his mother came. Standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said to him, Behold, thy mother and thy brothers are outside looking for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brothers? And he looked around upon those who sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother.
Lesson 31, Popularity of Jesus. In today's lesson, we shall see how Jesus became very popular with the general public, but despised by the religious authorities in Jerusalem. While the common people flocked to Jesus to be healed and to hear his teaching, the rulers were increasing their plans to oppose him and even kill him. We will learn that Jesus' work of casting out Satan was ironically attributed to Satan, and why this false accusation is considered blasphemy and will not be forgiven. When Jesus went into a synagogue on the Sabbath day, he miraculously healed a man who had a withered hand. The Pharisees were there waiting to see if Jesus would heal on the Sabbath, so they might have something to accuse him of. Jesus asked the congregation whether it was lawful to do good or evil on the Sabbath day, to save life or to kill. But the crowd remained quiet. Jesus was angry because of the hardness of their hearts. They only wanted to find some reason to accuse him of doing wrong, and were not at all interested in the man with a withered hand. So instead of praising God for a wonderful miracle, these Pharisees actually plotted how they would kill Jesus. It is sad when our religious devotion becomes more important to us than the people we are supposed to love and serve through our faith. Religious zeal, mixed with pride, becomes the devil's workshop and results in hypocrisy and spiritual blindness. Jesus left that area and went to the sea, and great crowds of people came to him to be healed and to hear him teach. There were so many pressing around him, he had to tell his disciples to prepare a boat so he could escape the crush of the crowd if necessary. Jesus had something to offer that no one else could offer, and that was divine healing. The people were desperate for help, and so they came to Jesus. This shows us how all the religious leaders and all their religion were really powerless to provide what the people really needed. So much of religion is just dead religion. For while it offers elaborate rituals, ornate buildings, and appealing music, it still remains empty of divine power. It is the Holy Spirit who gives power to heal people, both physically and, more importantly, spiritually. Men might try to fake the work of the Spirit, or invoke the powers of demons in order to attract followers, but it is only God who in his sovereignty can work miracles and healings through the power of the Holy Spirit. The only man who has ever been given the Holy Spirit without restriction was Jesus, and so he was able to heal all that came to him. Lots of men claim they have the anointing power of the Holy Spirit, and that God uses them to heal. I wish some of these who make such claims would visit the local hospital and use their divine gift to heal where it is most needed. It seems a bit suspicious that these so-called healers operate at special healing services where there are plenty of cameras and witnesses to attract as much publicity as possible, and then ask the supporters to send their gifts and offerings. Jesus never made a show out of his miracles or charged for his services. In fact, when the demons recognized his identity and cried out that he was the Son of God, Jesus rebuked them and silenced them. This leads us to another important discussion in this chapter of Mark's Gospel. The scribes had come to Jesus and made an accusation that he had an unclean spirit, and that it was by the power of the prince of demons that Jesus was casting out demons. This was ridiculous, of course, and Jesus explains why this did not make any sense. For if Satan had power over individuals through the demons living inside them, then why would he cast them out? That would be like shooting yourself in the foot. It would not help Satan to destroy his own kingdom. Only one who was stronger than Satan could come and bind him and cast him out. Jesus was demonstrating by his power to cast out demons that his power was greater than that of Satan. This should have told the scribes and Pharisees who Jesus really was, but they still refused to believe. They made a grave error when they accused Jesus of having a demon and casting out demons by the power of Satan. They were attributing the work of God through the Holy Spirit to the work of the devil. This is what Jesus called the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. He further tells them that if anyone blasphemes the Holy Spirit, they will never be forgiven. This is what some have called the unpardonable sin. Christians today sometimes worry that they might have been guilty of committing this sin, and therefore might never be forgiven. We should realize, however, that this sin was committed by those who witnessed the miracles of Jesus and attributed those works to the devil, rather than to the Holy Spirit. By this accusation, they were really calling the Holy Spirit the devil. Most Bible scholars would agree that this particular sin against the Holy Spirit was only possible to commit by those who witnessed the miracles that Jesus performed. So Christians today should not worry that they might have committed this sin. However, we should all be warned to show due respect to the true work of God. In discerning the true work of God, we need only to look at the fruit which it produces. In Jesus' case, people were being healed and released from Satan's power, indicating that his works were from the Holy Spirit. Today, when we see those who claim to be working for God, exploiting the poor so they can be rich and live in luxury, then we can discern their work is not being conducted by the Holy Spirit. If they were true followers of Jesus, they would deny themselves and not lay up for themselves treasures upon the earth. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Mark chapter 3, verse 29.
Did we in our own strength confide our striving would be losing? Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing?
Does just good that may be, Christ Jesus it is he, your Son about his
And now for today's Bible question. Today we have seen how Jesus' miracles made him very popular and brought the forces of good and evil into battle. The devil is never happy when God is doing his work. Someone might ask the question, should we try to go into battle against Satan? In churches today, there are many Christians trying to bind Satan, rebuke Satan, or cast Satan out, as though they had some power over Satan. We must remember to keep things in proper perspective, for Satan is much stronger than any individual, but he is no match for the Holy Spirit. If we want victory over Satan, we must be utterly and completely surrendered to the control of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is in charge, then he is quite able to protect us from the attacks of Satan. You will not find any place in the Scriptures where we are told to go into battle against Satan. We are certainly to wear the whole armor of God, as it says in Ephesians 6, and this is for defense, not for attack. Paul mentions that we wrestle against spiritual powers, but our position is not one of attacking, but arming ourselves against his attacks. The Scripture makes it plain that Satan is on the prowl like a lion, seeking whom he can destroy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. While Satan is looking for opportunity to attack those who are weak, our responsibility is to arm ourselves with the Word of God and the shield of faith. The Word of God is our best defense against the attacks of Satan, and that which our Lord used when he was tempted by Satan. The Bible tells us that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. This means that the Holy Spirit is greater in strength than Satan, and therefore we do not need to fear that Satan will somehow destroy us. Remember the illustration that Jesus gave in John 10 about Satan, who is like a wolf coming to attack the sheep. The sheep are no match for the wolf, and if left to their own defense would be devoured by the wolf. Their protection is from the Good Shepherd, who saves them from the attacking wolf, and it is our Lord Jesus who protects his own from the attacks of Satan. Now we must be careful because Satan is rather clever and has all kinds of ways to trip us up and do us harm. He can never snatch us away from our Lord if we are truly God's child, but he can make things rather miserable for us. He can soil our testimony by tempting us into sin. He can steal away our joy as he manages to get a foothold upon us and drag us down in despair and discouragement. He can cast doubts into our mind, or draw us into the lusts and allurements of this world. This is why the Bible warns us to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. James chapter 4, verse 7. This is written in the context of being ensnared by friendship with the world, which means to make friends with those who do not love God. We must resist him by following the Lord faithfully and purifying our lives from all that displeases the Lord. Our fight against the devil is not to be a full frontal attack, for you and I are no match for the devil, but we can certainly protect ourselves from his attacks when we are fully equipped with the armor of God. When the Holy Spirit confirms to us an assurance of salvation, when we walk in righteousness, when we know the Word of God, when our faith is solid, when we are ready to share the gospel with others, and when we walk in the truth, then we have put on the whole armor of God, which will shield us from all the attacks of Satan. Remember, the Scripture shows us a defensive posture for the believer when it comes to encountering Satan. The Lord simply wants us to stand our ground in full armor. Though our enemy is much stronger than we, he can do us no harm when we are protected by our God. Think of young David going out to battle against the giant Goliath. David had no chance to defeat the giant in his own strength, and no human armor would protect him, but only hinder him. It was only by the power of his God, by his faith in God, and by a life that pleased God that he was given the victory over his strong enemy. If you think you are much stronger than Satan, then listen to this warning from Jude. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Jude, verse 9. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.bibleassemblychurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life. If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.